Stargate Fancast, episode number 6. Of this episode, episode 6 of the Stargate Fancast. News this week, off of Gate World, a report that the real Cheyenne Mountain Complex, more specifically NORAD, is closing, which will bring a very interesting twist to Stargate. Hasn't been revealed yet or anything, or just says that on Gate World that it is expected to, not that it will or anything. Other news. Contest, yes. Bastion and I have been talking and have decided that we're going to have a contest. Now, what it's going to be for this one is Stargate fan fiction. Now, what we're looking for, we haven't quite decided yet, but one Stargate Atlantis and one SG-1. Now, the prize for winning this, we, as I said before, haven't decided yet. And, but what we have decided, or at least I have, is that I'm going to serialize one of them. As in, like, having, you know, slice it up into maybe 3 or 4 parts, put one in each episode. So, yeah, put it in. For submissions, if you have one, email it to me at zb1991@gmail.com. Under the subject line, put submission, fanfiction submission, and so then I'll know exactly what it is and not just some other question. Just one thing on this, though. Looking for stuff that just isn't some side thing of an episode, like, you know, what really happened here, something like that. We want original stuff. And that's it for the news. Now for the reviews of the episodes, which two of them, I was gone 1 week, as you most likely know, of both the SG-1 episode Morpheus and the SG-1 episode The Pegasus Project, the one that we were all waiting for, the crossover. Now, starting with Morpheus, a brief summary of the episode. SG-1 investigates a problem off-world and soon finds that they have become victims themselves. They cannot stay awake because of a parasite that has entered their system that if they fall asleep will kill them. Meanwhile, Vala Maldoran undergoes an evaluation on Earth, hoping to join SG-1. Now, I know that's not much on there. It wasn't a very major episode. It was really just glorified filler. So, now for the rating. Under special effects, I gave it a 6. It wasn't really fantastic, but then again, there wasn't really many there. It was, you know, the lizard was pretty cool, and that was pretty much it. Character development, I give it a 9. Vala's development there and the different things that they put in with her was very, very interesting, very good. I liked it a whole lot. Suspense, 7. It wasn't very suspenseful, but for an episode that focused mainly on the character development with Vala, there's no real surprise there. Plot, I gave an 8. As I said, so focusing with Vala, with the character development, with the stuff on the planet, it was pretty good. I liked some of the stuff was pretty original and all that. And overall, gave it a 7. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for Morpheus. Now for the second episode that I will be reviewing, episode 3 of this season of Strike at SG-1, Morpheus. Now for a summary of the episode. SG-1 visits Atlantis in hopes of preventing the Ori from sending more ships to the Supergate and to find a new lead on Merlin's anti-Ori weapon. With threats of the Ori now pressing upon our galaxy, SG-1 continues its desperate search for any way to stand up to evil ascending beings. Still rumored but undiscovered is a powerful weapon invented by Merlin, who, we have learned, was the Atlantean scientist, Myrdan, also known as Moros, who returned to Earth from Atlantis 10,000 years ago. Merlin was once ascended, but chose to retake human form to create a weapon that can kill ascended beings in order to fight the Ori, and keep that work hidden from the others of his kind, who have a strict rule of non-interference with unascended mortals. Continuing their search for the device, Daniel Jackson and Vala Maldoran visit the ancient city of Atlantis, now an Earth outpost in the Pegasus Galaxy. In the city's holographic room, they discover Morgan Le Fay, a 30-to-40-year-old holographic woman who serves as a computer interface. Along with Dr. Weir, they seek Morgan's help in discovering the whereabouts of Merlin's weapon, despite the fact that Merlin was apparently rebelling against the Atlanteans and the other ancients in creating it. Meanwhile, Carter, Teal'c, and Mitchell join the Odyssey in a dangerous mission. Later, Dr. Weir and Vala are stunned to learn that Morgan is not a holographic interface at all. She is ascended Atlantean, the real Morgan Le Fay, who is towing the line of breaking her vow of non-interference to help the humans battle the Ori. She reveals to them that when the Atlanteans resettled Earth many millennia ago, they found only a harsh land of primitive peoples. There was no hope to rebuild their great society, so they spread out, some seeding ancient civilizations and others living out their lives in secluded meditation. In this latter fashion, Morgan and Merlin both one day learned to ascend. When the latter descended to create the anti-Ori weapon, she was sent by the others to watch him. But Daniel and Weir know that in Arthurian language, Merlin and Morgan were rivals. If she was sent to watch him and, if necessary, stop him, would she really be helping them to find the technology now? Yes, she helps them, and they end up finding two more planets, the other two that they were looking for, and there was a very, very good debate between her and Jackson that is phenomenal. It is fantastic. I was really, really shocked with it. I'm starting to think I'm gonna just write my own. These Gate World ones aren't really doing all that great. So, yeah. With that, now for the rating. Under special effects, I gave it definitely a 9. It was pretty awesome. Oh, and then with the Supergate, I forgot it didn't really have much in there. What they were trying to do, or at least the other part with Carter, Mitchell, and Teal'c with the Odyssey, is that they were going to go and set up a gate next to a black hole. And they had another gate sitting kind of hidden by the Supergate. What they were going to try to do is, I don't remember the exact episode, but there was a black hole that was going to the SGC. And to get rid of it, so that it wouldn't destroy Earth, mountain, all that, is they put a shape charge and exploded it, and it shifted the wormhole to a different planet. And that was very close by to that one. So what they were trying to do is put that by a wormhole, shape charge, and then skip it from the small gate onto the super gate. So they go, and they're doing that. They're partway through getting it, with McKay's help, which is very, very funny there. There's some stuff with Citrus and a few other things. So they go with his help and get it. Well, they're partway through, and they're about to have it, when two very, very bad things happen. First, an Ori ship, one of those huge, giant, blow you to in half in one shot things, show up. And it's just kind of skirting around, and Teal'c's in a cloaked ship. Well, he moves forward to cover up the gate so that they won't notice it. And so he covers it up, and he's kind of hiding out there. And then he gets a message that he has to relay to the Odyssey, that there's a hive ship headed their way. So he relays it to the Odyssey, and now they have a dual problem. A hive ship headed their way, with how close they are to the black hole, they don't have sensors. So they don't know if it's almost on top of them right now, or what. So they go, and the hive ship shows up, and they're taking some major fire, and can't figure out what to do. Mitchell says that they ought to fly closer and use the gravity well to suck in the Wraith ship. And Carter and McKay figure that that could give them the little bit of extra yield they need if they blow up the hive ship. Now, how they plan on doing that is when it'll come closer, power will be drained and different systems won't work as well, and the jamming technology will no longer work on the hive ship. So what they'll do is beam in the nukes. The nukes will go off by the gate, and it'll shift the field to the super gate. So they're going through this and get it in, and their plan works, and it shifts it to the super gate, and the super gate activates and turns on, and boom! Ori ship is just decimated, sliced in half by the vortex. So really a dual win there. You get an Ori ship taken out. You get a Wraith ship taken out, and you get the super gate stopped. Or at least until the Ori build a new one. That's not official from Gate World or anywhere. I'm just saying it's probably going to happen. So that pretty much covers it for episodes. Another side thing that I was reading off of Gate World. GateWorld.net, if you didn't know, really great thanks to them for all the stuff they provide, and it's free, anyone can use it, and this season of SG-1, for some reason, has been one of the lowest rated seasons. Now, the first season premiere episodes were lower than the season 9, which really isn't the lowest, but what is very interesting is that the past two episodes, Morpheus, well, at least past one, Morpheus, was the third lowest rated episode, or at least how it appeared on Gate World was third lowest rated episode of all of SG-1. Now, what I was also talking about Atlantis, and Atlantis is pretty low too, but a very interesting thing is that Atlantis's two lowest episodes were Coup d'Etat and Michael, which are two very large fan favorites. Michael being the introduction of Michael the Wraith, no relation to Steve the Wraith, and Coup d'Etat with the whole genii thing, which will, supposedly, we will see more genii come in the next one, and also, I don't know if Bastion hit on it, but supposedly, Aiden Ford is to come back sometime during season 3. I haven't seen when, but it's supposed to happen. So, we'll see what goes on there. Now, for my personal favorite segment, when Stargate is gone for a long time, because the people at Sci-Fi this week on this revolving titled segment, we are going to have a blurb from the Federation Simfleet, which I was talking about that I would have earlier, on here. Now, I'll just kind of let them explain it to you, let it go through the blurb that I have that I'll put on here, and then afterwards I'll come back and add my little bit. So, here we go.
Welcome to the Federation Simfleet Podcast. I am your host, FSF Josh, and I will be taking you on a brief tour of some of the FSF's games. is the Federation Sim Fleet? Well, the FSF is a collection of over 43 active role-playing games. At present, there are over 600 active members. The Federation Sim Fleet is home to live chat games that occur in AOL Instant Messenger Rooms, or IRC, play-by-email games, or message board games. You will find such genres as Star Trek, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, and Stargate Sims within the Federation Sim Fleet. Here is a sample of some of the Federation Sim Fleet's games. Are you looking for an IRC chess simulation? Then check out the USS Pegasus. The USS Pegasus began in August of 1999 as a sim with a heavy focus on character development. The USS Pegasus sims every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the FSF IRC network, located at irc.sb254.com. The sim is run by FSF Poe and FSF Finster. Perhaps you're looking for a Star Wars simulation. If that's the case, check out the RAS Paragon simulation. The RAS Paragon is an Acclimator-class vessel serving during the latter half of the Clone Wars. The sim itself is a chat simulation that occurs every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on AOL Instant Messenger. The RAS Paragon simulation is hosted by FSF Coop and FSF Bailey. Perhaps you're interested in Stargate. If so, check out Stargate Command. Stargate Command is currently hosted by FSF Coochie and FSF Duke, and is a play-by-post or message board simulation. This format allows for the game to run as slow or as fast as the players want it to play. Also, this allows for several SG teams to be played at the same time. Thus, you will find such teams as SG-2, SG-3, or SG-4 working on their own missions on their own planets, all being overseen by the Stargate Command administrators. If you're interested, check out Stargate Command. Interested in these or other online simulations that the Federation Sim Fleet may have to offer? Then check out their website at www.sb254.com. There you will find a game listing that lists not only these simulations, but all of the simulations that can be found within the Federation Sim Fleet. You will also find a staff page full of people that will be willing to help you find the sim that you are looking for. Interested? Then once again, the website address is www.sb254.com. Please check out the Federation Sim Fleet.
Okay, so that was the blurb. I personally have been with the FSF for coming close to a year now. SGC that he was talking about, that's the only sim that I'm really on. There's an Atlantis one, but it's coming to an end. Long story. But, it's great fun. SGC just got Sim of the Year, running great. We're just moving into Season 9, so, yeah, it's perfect. If you're interested more in that, contact me. My email, zb1991@gmail.com. I'll send you some more information, get some stuff there. Also visit their website, www.sb254.com. Very, very good. Some good stuff, good Trek stuff. I'd do it if I knew more about Trek. And, what else for this segment? Oh, yes, the, book that I just finished reading. A Hymn Before Battle by John Ringo. Very, very good sci-fi. More military, definitely. Not very hard SF at all. Very, very funny. It's a lot like Starship Troopers. Or at least from what little I've read of Starship Troopers. Like the movie, actually. More like that. Except less satire and all that jazz. So, yeah, pretty good. And, that about covers it for this, and, my part of this episode. I know it's a really short one. I, really got a rush on this. It's pretty late, and this is pretty much the only time that I have this week to do this. So, yeah. Expect more coming in the next few weeks, and yeah, we'll have some fun. Now, our voicemail line, which we just got up and running, if you have questions, comments, anything like that, call into our voicemail line at 206-888-4561. Now, it is a long-distance number, so if you have a cell phone, I'd suggest using that. And email me, zb1991@gmail.com, or bastion@sgfancast@gmail.com. Don't forget, contest running now, fan fiction. Send it to either of us. It's good. Keep the subject heading. And, yeah, winner from what we've been discussing, a very good chance that it will be your choice of season of Stargate. So, you know, Atlantis, seasons whatever of SG-1 other than 9, that's kind of hard to do. Really hard to go into the future. I don't have a flux capacitor or a DeLorean. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Stargate Fancast. Oh, and, one final thing I forgot. I'm gonna try to work on our beginning thing, get it a little better, try to come up with something for the end that's really unique, you know. Maybe not completely unique, but something that's better than just the theme at the beginning and really nothing at the end or whatever. So, yeah, we'll see how that turns out. This is working out real great. I'm loving it. Bastion likes it a lot. So, yeah, send in that fan fiction and we're good. So, see you guys later. Bye.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.